The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, I'm former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Don Beebe, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo. Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
The Buffalo Bills shoot down the New York Jets 45-17 today in New Jersey as the Buffalo Bills go 6-3 on the season and continue their run to second place in the AFC. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, Buffalo Rumblings podcast. What'd you guys think of my impression just there? Did you guys get what that was?
Was that anti-aircraft fire?
Yes, it was. It was. You could tell?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
Oh. Well, I mean, context clues, right? Shoot down the Jets.
You're like, I thought it was a bayonet, to be honest. Oh, that's good. That makes me feel good about it. All right. I'm getting better. I'm working on it.
Do you think anybody has learned what context clues means just by using context clues? Probably somebody.
Maybe
genius.
Today. Yeah. Some genius that's not us. I'm your host, Nate, and we're discussing the Bills' victory today over the New York Jets. We're going to go over our thoughts of the game, some stats of the game, our sweet sassy molasses plays of the game, and as always, our wall of famers and wall of shamers with some help from our followers on Twitter. And we have a weekly podcast giveaway. We have two this week. I forgot last week while we were at Del Lago. Some of you guys mentioned that I forgot that, so that's my bad. You know what? You want to just do that right now? Just get it out of the way, man. Like, if you're a listener, man, and you want to get in on this, let's just do the giveaway right now. Let's do it. We're going to give away two jerseys, an Ed Oliver jersey. Ed Oliver, huge game today. We're going to get into Ed Oliver today. And I have a Devin Singletary jersey. So we're going to do that. I'll mention later in the podcast how you can win one of these items in the future. We have, what, nine more weeks of football? 8 more weeks, whatever. So I'll tell you guys how to win those. So first winner, you can pick whatever you want. Richard W. Griswold, either the Ed Oliver jersey or the Devin Singletary jersey. And we have Rich Perks 27. That's Rich Perks 27. You guys are the winners. So something a little bit different tonight. We don't normally do the winners that early, but, you know, feeling good about this game. And let's talk about it. Let's get right into it. And going into this game, the Bills lost a turd of a game last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it was one of those losses where, like, unlike the Titans loss, where you kind of questioned the franchise, questioned the team, you know, where is their head at? Is this really a Super Bowl contending team, or is this, you know, a fraud? You know, to put it quite frank, I think a lot of us were thinking that. And after the game, if you listen to our
Lee,
recap,
Frank Lee,
or speaking frankly,
To be frank.
You said Frank Lee.
But you said speaking.
No, I said to be frank, didn't I?
John, roll the tape back.
Wait, isn't Frank Lee a person?
Oh, thanks for that, John. John wasn't listening either. I thought I said to be frank. They were a fraud, to be frank. They were a fraud, speaking frankly.
The human mind can convince itself of a lot of things.
Oh, man, we just were talking about that before the podcast. However, everyone always thinks they're right about everything. That's just the way social media has just given people a voice where there's no fact checking.
But I'm taking that into account. I'm taking that bias into account, factoring it out and telling you I'm correct.
Oh, so you're taking that bias out. You don't think you're one of the millions of people that thinks they're always right. Okay. All right. Like 99.9% of the population. That's impressive. I bet you that 99.9% also think they're unbiased completely, just like you. I mean, I'm looking at this from the outside in. So, we were thinking the Bills were a fraud a little bit, or we were hoping that they weren't.
What is this we stuff? You have a mouse in your pocket? John and I thought it was a one-off fluke.
I think John was more on my side. John, correct me. How did you feel after last week's game? Did you think that was a one-off?
Don't forget to factor out the bias, John.
Yeah, no bias. Unbiased, so, John.
I just want to make sure I get this straight. Are you implying that beating the hapless Jets is a sign that they turned it around and they're now Super Bowl contenders again?
Yeah, I do.
Ooh, I don't know about that. No, I don't think that necessarily, just based on the win.
They have a 93% chance to make the playoffs. 74% chance to win the division, 11% chance to win the Super Bowl. If you're looking at the stats, like that to me is a contender. Yeah, the Jets are not a great team, but the Bills play the Titans. If Josh Allen doesn't slip, like there's so many chances to win that game. I would say the Jags are the fluke game at this point, not the Jets.
What was the percentage for first round bye?
Don't worry about it.
Not good, John. Not good when the 8%, one team
8%.
8%. Not good when the team that has a first round bye currently has the tiebreaker over you. That's not good. Not ideal. Let's get right into this. Does this win mean anything to you? Because to me, it makes me feel more confident. But I don't think I'm necessarily completely over the Jaguars' loss. When are they going to, are they just going to decide not to show up another week like they did last week? They're going to catch another team, sleeping. That's going to catch the Bills sleeping. To me, it makes me feel better. Obviously, this is the kind of win you should have over a bad team. And the Jets are a bad team. So for the most part this season, they've taken care of bad teams in the following manner. They only lost really one game against a bad team. This doesn't necessarily change my view on the season. I still think that they're, a playoff contender. I think they'll, if they get hot at the right time, they're Super Bowl contender.
A playoff contender? The 93% chance. You guys are soft-selling this.
Deep playoff contender?
I think their defense is like number one in every statistical category. What a shitty episode.
This is turning out to be terrible. So, I mean, well, John, let's start off with you. I mean, is your feeling on the team any different after a win like that? It was a very convincing win. The Bills dominated pretty much offensively and defensively, which is what you'd love to see. In another team stadium, which is even better. How do you feel on the team overall? Where's your head at?
I don't think my overall outlook has changed whatsoever after this game. It was a fun game to watch. They did what they had to do. They did what they should do against the Jets. Continuing their streak against AFC East opponents. It's 9-0 in their last 9 games. Pretty good. But no, it's great. So, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Diggs making these catches. The other receivers are making good catches. The running game was effective when they chose to use it. Obviously, they passed way more, but that's cool. I mean, Breida had nice burst. Defense played excellent, as they've been all season. It was fun game to watch.
Yeah, Mike. So it doesn't change. So wait, real quick, John. So it doesn't change your view after last game. You're still pretty disappointed after that loss. You're not sure if they're pretenders or contenders, correct? You're unsure.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of early, right? Like we're like halfway through, basically. There's 10 AFC teams that are have a winning record, and like nine of them are all within a game of each other. So like we're the second seed, but like the ninth place team is 5-4 or whatever. So it's like it's all everybody's right there. So like it's kind of early for that. But you know, just got to keep winning games.
What about you, Mike? Has your opinion changed on the team with that win over last week? Or I mean, you never wavered, did you?
No, I think they're in a great spot. I wish they won a couple more games so they had a bigger margin of error. I would have liked to see them wrap things up by mid-December. It's going to be a little tighter than we thought or maybe would like, but who else would you want to be a fan of? If you couldn't have the Bills, what team would you take? Like I would take the Bills. Titans, right? Without Henry, without Julio Jones. I trust Josh Allen more than Tannehill. I like the Bills coaching staff over the Titans. You could say maybe the NFC is a weaker division, but you got the Bucks and the Packers. Like the Bucks are 6-3. The Packers are 8-2. I just like the Bills getting Knox back was huge. Spencer Brown, they look like a completely different team with Spencer Brown. Loved the game out of AJ Klein today. Breda really showed us something, like the depth we have there. Like I'm very high. Who would you rather be a fan of to take a run at the Super Bowl than the Bills?
I mean,
not just this year, into the future. I think the future is very bright.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. There's really not, it's such a muddy AFC to John's
like we're comparing the Bills against the field. Mm-hmm. And of course, you'd take the field. Right. But if you had to pick one other team, like there maybe are comparable, but I don't think anybody you'd take over the Bills.
I don't think there's one team in the AFC and maybe the NFC that you can definitely say is absolutely 100% better than the Bills. Top to bottom. You're not like, okay, this team's better. I mean, they keep talking about in the broadcast for once, which is so weird about the Bills being a Super Bowl contender. And you're just like, yeah, that's what I thought too. Okay. All right. I think there is. So that's a good point. I feel better. I feel more vindicated. And you wanted to make sure last week wasn't a trend as much as it was just an outlier of a game. Just the Bills just didn't show up last week. Okay. All right. Well, you know, even good teams lose to bad teams. Like that happens. There's 17 games now. That's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, what you guys both brought up Matt Breida. I mean, he had two touchdowns today and he did have that fumble, of course, but, I mean, he just brings something to this offense that the Bills just don't. I mean, they ran a sweep play for that touchdown. Like what is I haven't seen the Bills run a sweep play since Chan Gailey. I feel like they ran out wide and they had blockers ahead and he went into the end zone almost untouched.
He's got to get some touches every game.
He does, right?
Today?
I feel like he's got to be a part of this offense. They got to find a way yet to touches. Maybe you're not saying like 12 to 15, but like 6 to 8, either passing or catching, somehow get him into space. Like, yeah, he's got to be a part of it, right?
Absolutely. And you know what else that I noticed? That McKenzie was getting some extra touches on offense compared to the rest of the season. It's just been kicks and punts, nothing else. Where last year, he was way more involved in the offense. So I think those couple of adjustments there, like those guys that have speed and are able to break away. I think it's good that they're doing that now.
Yeah. I liked Matt Breida's game today. I love like Mike said, Spencer Brown. I mean, who would have thought that he'd make such an impact that this offensive line looks so much better with him in it. And I'm just, this is, I guess I wouldn't think he would, when he went out, I'm like, okay, well that stinks, but you know, the Bills are playing the Jaguars. So, who really cares? But then, you know, he comes back and you see what a difference he makes making holes on the line. They ran towards his side for that touchdown I just mentioned, and they were opening up holes in the running game and the pass protection was better. It wasn't great, but it was better, which is what you want. And yeah, how can you not be happy with the job Spencer Brown is doing as a rookie and playing right tackle? And you're just like, wow, you know, if the Bills can just shore up the interior, you know, next season, like you have a really solid defense or offensive line. And this is saying, you know, and Deion Dawkins is having a down year. I don't want to say anything totally bad in this podcast about the team because I mean, but he just doesn't look like himself this season. He's getting beaten. He had that one holding call that brought back like that long Josh Allen run. He scrambled off to the right. He ran for like 30-something yards, 37 yards or something to that effect. First down, he looked great, didn't get hit, didn't get touched, ran out of bounds. And they're like, oh, there was a holding call on Deion Dawkins back. You know, so it just crushed you. But creative play calling by Dable on that play on a lot of plays today. Top to bottom, great game. What do you think about I have a nickname for Spencer Brown. So one of the things on our podcast that we like to do, besides like talking about the Bills in a general set fashion, is nicknames. And I'm not even really putting this up to a vote or like let the listeners think, but I think of Spencer Brown as the Mountain. Like, he just makes me think of the Mountain from Game of Thrones. Like, big, huge guy, nasty, you know, like just the Mountain. He's like a mountain of a man. He's 6'8", 330 pounds or whatever. And he just makes me think of him. Sir Gregor Clegane from Game of Thrones. Before he became a zombie or whatever he became. But he's, you know, he's nasty in there. I think he adds something. It's just, I don't know. That's what I always think of. And like, I put it out as a meme, you know, got a bunch of runs. So I mean, people aren't disagreeing with it. In fact, one guy was like, oh, that's cool. The Mountain. Like, who came up with that? And I just replied, us. Like, circling the wagons, CT Dubs, you know? So do you guys like that one? Can we move on from that? I know you guys aren't a fan of Third and Cole. What about the Mountain?
Sure.
I feel like you've ruminated on this for weeks, so it's hard to just come up with something way better in 3 seconds.
I'm not asking you to come up with something better.
No, I think I can.
he's just offering for you to accept what
he wants. Validation or nothing.
I would love some validation right now. You know, there's just like not a lot of validation going on.
It's
right
funny
now,
how he views silence as like tacit approval.
I'm really looking for an echo chamber on this podcast, and you guys aren't providing that. I'm not a big fan, to be honest.
John, does it seem a little uninspired? Just like, he's big, the Mountain.
Yeah, I mean, like, so
if, tiny.
If you harken back to the your early opposite. 90s, House Ballard, you know, so like, you know, big guy House. They had a guy a couple years later. They called what do you call him?
Skyscraper.
Condo, it was. His name was Condo.
Oh, really?
So like it's not like unheard of to like, you know, do something like that for offensive linemen, right?
Townhome.
Yeah.
Start naming them all these different places. Pole barn.
Yeah. There you go. Mountain. That's water even bigger than any of those, right?
The Mountain, exactly. So they
well, the biggest guy was the refrigerator, right? The smallest thing.
But that might have been because he was a larger guy too, so maybe he liked to eat. I don't know. Like, there was,
but yeah. I think it's like actually he was like the size of a fridge.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's not as impressive as like the house, or size wise. Like, ah, he's a fridge. Like, ah, I've moved a fridge before. That was what we had when we had John Davis, the Bills' former guard, on. His website is a refrigerator mover, because in college, there was like a big play, I think. I did the interview, I should remember, where he like moved, because yeah, they played against him. John played for Georgia Tech, and like there's a play, like he just owned the William the Fridge Perry in college. So that was his nickname, was the refrigerator mover in college, and it stuck. So that's kind of a cool name.
It seems kind of long and cumbersome. His name is The Refrigerator Mover?
Yes. Oh, that's not better than The Fridge?
You could shorten it a little, like Fridge. Mover.
Fridge Mover?
TRM? I don't know.
TRM. So, yeah. Okay, anyway, if someone has something better, don't bother you. I'm pretty set on this one. I think I'm stuck on this one. I'm trying to come up with, trying to not give all of the options to the listeners, but they have some good ones usually. So Mayhem was my favorite.
Did they chime in with anything for Mountain?
I haven't put it up to vote, but now I am. If you guys have something better for Spencer Brown, like there's been some really good ones come up by listeners, like Count Dragula for Gabriel Davis when he was just, you know, toe dragging all of those receptions in the Colts playoff game. You know, there's been some really good ones. Mayhem was a good one from a listener. Our listeners are very, very intelligent. And if it sounds like I'm pandering to the audience, it's because I am. So
I feel like you're trying to push the alliteration angle. Motor, mayhem, mountain.
Murd and mole. Yeah. All right.
How about this? Jolly Brown Giant.
The Jolly Brown Giant. That's not bad. That's wow. That's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Did you just come up with that? Or
jolly.
Did you Google it?
He's big. That's and his name is Brown.
Jolly, yeah, I guess a little.
Man.
Yeah. Did you just come up with that, or did you just literally Google or Reddit or find it, look in Reddit for it?
For Spencer Brown?
Nicknames for Spencer Brown? Yeah. No. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's like yours if you can filter out your.
Well, maybe I'll make
bias for mountain.
I'll make it a T-shirt. I'll be the Jolly Brown Giant. That one's a lot easier than. Maybe it's not easier than the mountain.
Maybe it should be a pole.
To be a pole.
I feel like it's too many words, just like the refrigerator mover, right? It's too many words.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Jolly rolls off the tongue more than the.
Yeah.
The is less syllables.
Much less.
Half as much.
Half. 50% less syllables is a big deal. We'll sit
on
that.
Put it up.
I'll put it up. Oh, you don't think I will? I will. Good. Great. Not gonna lie, I kind of like the Jolly Brown Giant. I don't hate it.
you're a bigger man than most.
Well, I'm non-biased. Unlike everyone else, I don't bias.
John would have just dug his heels in if he came up with the mountain. Wouldn't you, John?
I'm kind of indifferent to both. I don't really care.
John's like, I don't give a crap either way. I think that the Jolly Brown Giant is pretty good. It's pretty good.
Thanks. I think just because his name is Brown, like you could do a lot with Brown.
Yeah, you could. Like someone said, Dawson Knox, Fort Knox. I mean, that one's been brought up. I like Juggernaut better because it's more, you know, it's more of a. I like the Marvel reference. I like that. I can picture it. Big dude pushes the play that we all remember in Bowling. I like that one. But anyway, let's go into stats of the game.
Stats of the game.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Well, people can come up with statistics to prove anything, Kent. 40% of all people know that.
Stats of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago, which we visited the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago last week, which was a really good time, fun time for the four of us. We had voiceover Nick on with the three of us, and that was, I mean, the game was garbage, but like the time at DeLago Resort and Casino was just a fun time. If you haven't been there over in Waterloo, it's just a cool time. It's a fun area. I'm actually going there this week. They definitely didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to advertise it. I'm taking my mother over to the restaurant over at DeLago Resort and Casino. I forget what the name of it is, but Kelsey Grammer is making a visit. She's a huge Frasier fan, and I'm taking her there. We're going to get some. He's selling some beer or whatever he's pimping, and we're going to get some six packs signed or whatever. It'd be a cool time. My mom's a huge fan, so it's a good thing to do. So excited to do that with her. But anyway, yeah. So that's the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. If we bet on the Bills this week, by the way, the 13 points spread, like we would have crushed it. The over, they hit the over. They hit the over was 48 and a half, ended up being 62 points. Like, why couldn't we have been betting this week in all the games? We would have at least found, you know, more than one game that we got right last week. Josh Allen was 21 for 28 today, 366 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 75% completion percentage. Leading rusher is Devin Singletary, the jersey that we're giving away, the signed jersey. Devin Singletary, 7 attempts, 43 yards, 1 touchdown today. Matt Breida, 3 attempts, 3 carries for 28 yards, 1 touchdown. And Zach Moss, 7 carries for 27 yards, 1 touchdown. all three Bills running backs today getting in with a rushing touchdown. That's awesome. The Bills running backs in general almost had 100 yards rushing on the day. I mean, we're talking about the New York Jets, so that's not a huge deal, but I mean, it's good to see. It's good to see that they can actually run the ball every once in a while. And they don't rely on Josh Allen to be the leading rusher every single week. Josh only had 3 yards today actually rushing the ball, so there you go. Isaiah McKenzie had a rushing touchdown today. He had 2 attempts, 17 yards, 1 rushing touchdown. Stephon Diggs, the leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills, 13 targets, 8 receptions, 162 yards, and 1 touchdown. If you had Stephon Diggs as your fantasy wide receiver, you're very happy today. Gabe Davis, 3 receptions, 3 targets, 3 receptions, 105 yards, no touchdowns, had that long pass, which we'll talk about at some point, I'm sure. Next leading receiver, and then it goes down from there. There's not a whole lot to say about the receivers after those first two. I'll go over the Jets real quick. Mike White, what'd they call him? Magic Mike White? He was not magic today. He was, what is the opposite of magic? I don't know. Suction, vacuum. He was 24 for 44. 251 yards. Mike, help me out with that.
Wait.
What's the opposite of magic? I don't know what the opposite of magic is. A vacuum of magic. I couldn't think of anything off the cuff. Not like Jolly Brown Giant, okay? I could Magic Mike White was not so much today. 24 for 44, 251 yards, 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. If you started Mike White today in fantasy, you got 2 points. That was a rough game by the Bills or the Jets passer. What's funny is Joe Flacco comes in late in the fourth quarter, 3 for 3, 47 yards, 1 touchdown. So if Zach Wilson can go next week, I don't know if they stick with Mike White. Leading rusher for the Jets, Michael Carter. He had 16 attempts, 39 yards, 1 touchdown. And yeah, that's they could not get anything. They stuck with the run. Give them credit. They stuck with the run for way too long, like way too long. Like they were down by 3 scores and like, oh, let's start running the ball. Like they won't expect that. And you know, they had no luck. They had less than 3 yards per carry, almost a little over 2 yards per carry. Corey Davis, leading receiver for the Jets, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 93 yards for the leading receiver. And that's all we're going to do for stats of the game. As far as on the Jets side of the ball, some interesting stats for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills had 4 players run for a touchdown today, which marks a first in franchise history. So the Bills making franchise history today. Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis went over 100 yards on the day. Today's game marks the first time the Bills have had 2 100-yard receivers since Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs each went over 100 against Denver last year. In December, if you're curious about that. The Bills have won 9 consecutive games against AFC East opponents. John mentioned that earlier. Only one win shy of tying the team record. And guys, do you know who the next team is, the next AFC East team is that the Bills play to tie that record? Without Googling it right now.
Well, it's one of 2 teams.
Is it? It could be... Oh, the Bills already played the Dolphins twice. Yeah, okay.
And since they've already played the Jets once, the odds would be New England, I guess, without looking at anything.
That is correct. They're playing the Patriots. In 3 weeks, the Bills are playing the Patriots. Man, the Patriots are, what are they, 6-4 now in the AFC?
Yeah, only half a game behind us.
Yeah, this is. I did not think that they were going to be as big a contenders as they are right now in the AFC East. And that is going to be a really good game to watch in Orchard Park in just 3 weeks. So the Bills got the Colts next week, the Saints on Thanksgiving, and then they have more than enough time to prepare for the Patriots. Of course, the Patriots will probably be coming off a bye or something. I don't know. We'll see. But that's going to be a really, really interesting game. The Bills could tie their franchise record with a win over the Patriots. And unlike last season where the Patriots were kind of in a rebuild, a win against the Patriots means a lot more than it did last season when the Bills swept the division, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. The Bills' 45 points today moved the team's season total to 280. That marks a new team record for the first 9 games of a season, surpassing 278 points in 1964. Bills setting records all over the thing. The Bills defense had five different defensive backs. White, Poyer, Hyde, Wallace, and Johnson tally a takeaway today, marking the first time since at least 1967 that five Bills DBs have done so in one game. Wow. It's impressive. The Bills secondary, man. Great game for them. Allen completed 21 of 28 passes for 366 yards and two touchdowns on the day. The Bills are now 11-1 when Allen throws for 300 yards or more in a game. With his 125.6 QB rating today, Allen has totaled a 100-plus QB rating in six of his last seven games. So Allen's on fire so far this season. He's really not regressing too much or at all, really. Great game today by Josh Allen. We're going to go over our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game and like our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers soon. Stephon Diggs had a season-high 162 yards and a touchdown on 8 receptions and continues his standout Bills career. It was the sixth time in Diggs' career that he had over 150 receiving yards, and his team moves to 5-1 when he eclipses the 150-yard mark. Breida had rushing and receiving touchdown today. That's the third time in Breida's career that he's done that. And Micah Hyde forced a fumble by wide receiver Corey Davis in the second quarter to halt a Jets drive in Buffalo territory. Combined with his three interceptions this season, Hyde has forced four turnovers, which is his highest total since forcing five in 2017. So the Bills defense continues to dominate. So great stats there. Thank you again. So stats of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to go over our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game, maybe a Gettysburg of the game, maybe, and Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. So stick around.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right. Welcome back to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. This is our recap show. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you for joining us. I'm with my co-hosts, John and Mike. And let's do our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game.
Sweet Sassy Molassy. Get out the checkbook and pay grandma for the rub down.
Our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Let's start off with John. John, what do you have as your Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the game in this dominant win over the Jets?
Well, definitely a lot of good plays to pick from in this game. But I have to go with the Gabriel Davis catch down the right sideline where he was being interfered with and still made a spectacular grab. I forget how long the pass was, but it was had to be like 30-something yards.
36 yards. Yeah. And he was being, it was like he bobbled it a few times, caught it, got both feet in bounds, Count Dragula, right? Just right in the sidelines. Hitch had to throw that in there. I like that one. That one's my Sweet Sassy Molassy play the game as well. I love that play. Just one of those standout plays. It's like a highlight reel play that you see all week after that win. Mike, what is your Sweet Sassy Molassy play the game?
For me, it's got to be the Micah Hyde strip recovery. The Bills are up 17-3. It was right after the the Diggs touchdown, but the Jets got the ball back. They were driving right before the half, and you felt like if they could score a touchdown there or a field goal, it'd be a totally different game. But Hyde stripped the ball from behind and then recovered it. It was awesome play for him. And just not even so much as preventing a field goal, it just, you could see the crowd enthusiasm, energy just deflate, and it felt like a real big play.
Yeah, if that had gone seven, well, let's do, I mean, geez, do you put that as your, so let's do Gettysburgs of the game.
Four score and 7 years ago.
Gettysburg of the game is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Delago as well. Would that be your Gettysburg of the game? Because
I think it's got to be, Gettysburg's got to be when it hangs closer in the balance, in my opinion, right? When it's tied or within a score.
Mm-hmm. So you would say, in your opinion, maybe it was that Taron Johnson interception, was that first interception after Bills went up 7-0 or 10-0 or whatever the case was. The interception is the Jets were driving and stopped them from scoring, maybe?
That's a good one. Yeah, great pick.
John, do you have a Gettysburg of the game?
It's a tough game for Gettysburg because the Bills kind of, you know, had it in hand the whole game. But if I had to pick one, I do like
it. It was started 0-0.
Thanks for that.
Odd how that happened, but go ahead.
It was already 17-3.
Again, pick the Hyde play. They're driving on that drive. They're doing well. Like, they could have got a touchdown, and then all of a sudden they have 10 and the momentum.
That's why it's the play of the day or the game.
Hyde crushed it, and then Bills got the momentum back, and the rest of the season.
I'm going to side with John on this one because I know, yes, the Bills were up 17-3, but if they scored that touchdown, they were driving, and that shouldn't have been a fumble. They should have, at the time I'm watching them, I'm like, why aren't you tackling him? Why are you letting him still go? And they got that punch out. And I thought that, you know, they had some momentum and that turnover just crushed them. I think momentum wise and just psychologically, I'm sure going into the half, especially knowing that the Bills were going to get the ball back in the second half to do that and stop them from scoring a touchdown, stop them from, you know, I like that one personally. That's my opinion.
That's more like the surrender signing at Appomattox Courthouse when they're meeting. It's like it's done at that point. That's not like when it all hangs in the balance. But whatever. Go on to the next one.
I like the Civil War reference, Appomattox Courthouse. Yeah. Wow.
Well, either way, 2-1 on that vote. So, all right. Yep, moving on.
Dude, can I give a shout out for Sweet Sassy Malassi Play the Game to that Stephon Diggs touchdown? Where the first time they went to him, like he almost had it. He was like 1 foot short of getting it in bounds. And then the second play, they go right back at the same corner to Stephon Diggs. And it was another amazing catch by Stephon Diggs. Like I thought that was an amazing, it was a series of plays, sure. But that second catch was just as good, if not better, than the first catch, in my opinion. I thought that was a great touchdown.
That's got to be so demoralizing too. That was awesome.
That's got to be a play. Doesn't that remind you of being a Bills fan? Like for years they would do that. Like, oh, like let's test Drayton Florence or whoever that was on that side. Like, let's just throw the ball at Nate Clemens. Like, okay, you know, didn't matter. It didn't matter. After a couple times, eventually, like, you know, the Bills never adjusted. It would just happen. Yeah. So the Sweet Sassy Malassi plays the game. And the Gettysburg plays the game, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Delago. That was a lot of fun. All right, let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers.
Oh, I have one interesting thing that I don't, maybe I'm the only person that ever thought this, but like in school growing up, you'd be like, oh, where did the Civil War end, right? And it's like, oh, Robert E. Lee signed the surrender at Appomattox Courthouse. So I always thought that was in Appomattox at the courthouse. But it's a village called Appomattox Courthouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a courthouse, like to make it official.
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't? It was just in some dude's living room? Like it could have been that.
That was the name of the village. Like the courthouse. Name? Like so weird. Wow.
Don't you ever wonder when they go into like those surrenders, why doesn't the other guy just bring a bunch of troops and just kill the leaders of the one side at that time? Like, oh, I guess I don't surrender. I just killed everyone. Well, your generals. They were just in one place. They shouldn't have been. I brought a lot of cannons. It's like that scene in like
Braveheart.
Braveheart, yeah, when they're like, send the archers. It's like, but we'll kill our guys too. He's like, yes, but we'll kill theirs as well.
I thought you were going to talk about at the beginning when they invite everybody, all the noblemen, and then they just hang him.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they basically, yeah. Was that for peace talks? Oh, yeah, that was for peace in Braveheart.
It's way more applicable to what you're describing.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they did. So somebody did have that idea. All right, we're going to have some peace talks, all right? Let's bring all the important people in one small building. Yeah, actually, it's kind of sad. Anyway, think about that scene in the movie. Anyway.
Work of fiction, right?
Work of fiction. let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Let's start with our Wall of Fame.
Wall.
Mike, you know what? I'll go first in this one. I'm going to give it to Josh Allen. Josh Allen shutting down. You know, I don't think people blamed him 100% for last week, but he was definitely part to blame. And I think that today just kind of, I mean, is it just me, you guys, or did he stay into the game way longer than I thought he would? Like, than you thought he would too, I'm sure. Because, like, it was, I don't even know if Mitchell Trubisky saw a snap. I don't think he did.
Trubisky was inactive, I think.
Oh, was he? Okay, yeah. Well, then he definitely didn't take a
snap. Davis Webb
didn't take a snap either. Like, I feel like Josh Allen was on the sidelines. Like, I want to play the whole game. Like, I want to be there. Like, but that, I was in my head. I'm like, like my risk averse mind is like, like take him out. Like, I don't.
Webb came in at the very end.
Did he? To kneel? To bend the knee? The game? To, yeah. Yeah, like he might have, but like, were you guys surprised at all that they didn't take Josh Allen out? Or they could have taken him out in the beginning of the fourth, in my opinion, and it would have been just fine.
I did expect to see Webb in a series or two before when he actually did go in, but, you know.
And they were passing. It wasn't like, I mean, late into the fourth quarter, it wasn't like, this felt like the Patriots, like that's what the Patriots would do. You know, they'd be up by three scores and like, let's just throw bombs still. And that's what they were doing. Josh Allen was looking great. So maybe they're like, why stop it? Let's bump some stats on some guys, man. Let's get David. Let's get, you know, Diggs over 100. Let's get Davis over 100. That was, I was surprised, but Josh Allen is on my Wall of Fame in today's victory. Silencing the, you know, people that might, you know, criticize his play from last week and maybe former weeks. And he looked unbelievable today. And he didn't have to do any of it with his legs. He did have that one long run call back, the design run. But otherwise, yeah. So, Mike, who do you have on your Wall of Fame in today's victory?
I was initially thinking Breda, but with that fumble, it's tough to give it to him with the terminal. I think I've got to go Spencer Brown. Is Spencer Brown the key to the offensive line? Yes, he is. Is the key to the entire team? Maybe. It might be his team, Nate. They just look totally different when he's there.
I love when you ask questions and you're just like, is he the key? Yes, he is. You sound like someone on a cable news network. You know,
head.
Is this something every American should fear? Yes. Will we all die? Maybe. Like this is. Is Spencer Brown the key to the Bills winning the Super Bowl? Yes. Is it? I like it. I like Spencer Brown. I'm going to put that up on a poll. Should I do that right now as John's doing his Wall of Fame? I'll put that up as a poll.
What's the poll going to be?
Which?
The mountain.
Which? Yeah. Yeah. Which nickname do you like better for Spencer Brown? Okay. So I'm going to put that up right now. I'll let you know by the end of the podcast because you'll probably get like at least 50 or 100 votes by then, hopefully. So, John, who do you have on your Wall of Fame in today's victory?
Wait, what are you putting up? Just the two?
Yeah, just the two.
Okay.
So, yeah, my first thought was Stephon Diggs. Oliver had a good game, too. But I think I'm just going to give it to the secondary. All five starters had a turnover. They just played out of their minds today. I'll give it to those guys.
The secondary was fantastic. Do you like the Jolly Brown Giant? Should that be the first one or the second one? I'm thinking like people see that first, and I don't want people to vote for it. So I don't want that to be the first thing they see. You always want to be the first one, right?
I feel it should be randomized.
You think it should be randomized?
Yeah.
I think it should be the order in which it was presented, right? So the mountain was presented as the first option, and then...
Well, by that logic, the first guy that says he's running for president, like, oh, I'm running for president in 2050.
Or you could have
alphabetical. So my name's on the list. No.
You could alphabetical.
It should be randomized.
It should be randomized, okay. Hold on, I'll put it into the random picker thing that I use for the...
Oh, look at that, it's the mountain.
Share your screen.
The mountain jolly brown giant. All righty, like random pick one, and what do you know? No. You're acting like being the first one is the better one. Maybe that they're like, oh, I like this one, and then the second one, they're like, oh man, that's better. So maybe it's I actually want to be. I don't want to win this one. I want to be second, and the winner is Jolly Brown Giant. God,
it's only two options. You're gonna see both options pretty much at like all at the same eye shot. It's not like you have to read through four lines of options. It's all in one view. I don't think it matters.
You don't think so? You still think I'll win, John?
Yeah, I get it. Well, as soon as you post, I'm going to do the 100% thing and send it to you guys.
Which nickname do you like better for Spencer Brown, Jolly Brown Giant, or the Mountain? The Mountain.
Well, maybe the Mountain should be first because, like, just the way your eye, just to get more views for.
I picked it randomly. What do you want me to do? Like, geez, I think it's what I did randomly.
Yeah, that's fine. Just saying, if you want the popularity of the entire post, it might be more aesthetically pleasing to the eye to have the longer one at the bottom.
Let's see what John picks because he's going to do 100%. He's like, oh, I'm going to screenshot it for you because he's always the first to tweet or respond to anything.
Oh, 100%.
For
stop
who?
The count.
For who? I'm looking at it. It hasn't updated. John, who'd you vote for?
I like the mountain.
Oh, you simpleton.
hey, don't you say that about John.
It's because he loved Game of Thrones and it's in his head. That's why.
Lots of people like Game of Thrones.
You don't know if I loved Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow. We already got
Did you?
It was pretty good, but I don't know if it
was your favorite like, show for a time.
No.
Yeah, it was.
The Mountain. Okay.
It was a good show, but I wouldn't put it in my top shows.
It's just because of the ending soured you.
The ending wasn't that good.
The ending was wet trash.
The last couple seasons weren't that good.
If we're being honest. Yeah. So far, so good. Okay. So you know what's funny?
Wait.
So far, so good. This poll is going well. So you know what's funny about polls? I'll say this in general and for the podcast. I do a lot of polls. If you're not following us, by the way, on Twitter, follow us at CTW Pod, like at Circling the Wagons Pod. I'll put out polls about random things about like who do you put the blame on the Bills loss or whatever. And what's funny is like when they do polls on like CNN or Fox News or whatever for like elections, they'll be like, oh, you know, out of like 2,000 people, they think so-and-so is going to win. And I'm like, how the hell is that a good sample size? Like 2,500 people or whatever is going to determine what an entire country feels like. That's so dumb. And then I do these polls and after the first like 200 votes, like even maybe 150 or 100, like it's pretty much decided. Like it could go on for 1,000 votes and it'll only change like a percentage point or two. Like it is like those polls are pretty much done when they're done. Mike, are you getting on Twitter?
No.
To check it out. Okay. We're going to check it out.
Did I already lose?
Podcast. No. Not yet. We're going to check it out at the end of the podcast and see what people like. All right. Let's go into our wall of shame in today's game.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Wall of Shame. I honestly can't think of anyone to really give it to in today's victory. It's so hard. I mean, they won offensively, defensively, coaching-wise, special teams. They had some good plays. Isaiah McKenzie had that long run back, 27-yard punt return. They just look good on all sides of the field. Tyler Bass again doing what he does. Yeah, I don't have anyone. Mike, John, do you guys have anyone in this?
No,
it's hard, right?
Wall of shame?
Yeah, wall
of
shame.
I'm putting myself on the wall of shame because I am still dwelling on that dumb Jaguars game from a week ago. Normally after a loss, like a day or two, I'm good. I'm ready for the next week, 100% optimism. but I'm still dwelling on it. And I know I shouldn't be because it was a, you know, it's a fluke, right? You know, out of the games that they've lost and how they've done this year and how they've done last year. But like, I can't help but, you know, only a game, half a game ahead of the Patriots. We have within a game of like 10 different teams or 9 different teams in the AFC. It's like, I get that it's early in the season, but it still bothers me a little bit. So I'm going to put myself up there because I shouldn't be thinking about that so much.
You put it on not only like how you felt this last week, but how you continue to feel about the team, which is a big deal. Like this win wasn't convincing for you enough. And I think there's definitely a contingent of fans like that.
Well, it's the Jets, right? Like, like they got to string a bunch of wins together.
Like, I mean, this is almost like do this against the Saints or the Colts.
The Colts, Saints, and the Pats. Let's
like,
go.
Like, let's have a game like this. I mean, the Bills should be beating bad teams, but they should also have like some definitive wins against good teams.
We should win the rest of the games on our schedule.
and then and only then will I feel good about this season.
Well, I'm sure at some point along the way I'll feel better.
You know, I'm going to put the wall of fame or wall of shame on me too for getting that hung up on one loss. And maybe just questioning the season in general. I don't doubt it as much as you do now. I think I'm still much more optimistic. I think I see that as a blip in the, you know, a blip in the radar as opposed to this is how the season's going to go. But yeah, I'm going to give myself. Mike, you said no one. You're good.
This is it's just proof that humans can make anything about themselves. We'll put you two. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills against the Jets. Who is the worst player on the field today? And you both managed to nominate yourselves.
That's the only way I can see this world. I don't have the ability for empathy or different points of views. It's just my. What is that called? Are you sociopath if you do that? Or are you just a normal human being? Just not
a narcissistic sociopath.
Narcissistic, yeah, narcissistic. There we go. What do you have?
To be fair, if I was on the field, I would be the worst player.
Could I give it to Deion Dawkins maybe a little bit? I think he's been having a rough stretch, and I don't know if it's because of COVID or, you know, he was in the hospital and out of the training camp for 3 weeks. That's a big deal. He's getting his, you know, stamina back. You would think hopefully after 10 weeks into the season, he would be getting some of that stamina back. I think he's just having a down season so far. It's not bad. It's just not above average. And I think he's above average player. And I don't think he's having an above average season. If I have to find someone. Mike, you good? Okay.
Yes, Nate.
Do you have a wall of shame?
You know not everybody can be above average, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm reminded every time we do this podcast that not everybody can be above average. Okay, so let's see what we have. We have some tweets from our followers on Twitter. After every game, I write who or what is on your wall of fame and wall of shame in today's win or loss. Eric Helwig is in. He says, wall of fame, the trainer who got Spencer Brown and Taron Johnson back on the field. Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. Wall of fame also finally using Breda's speed, the entire D for takeaways, and the wall of shame. And he said he's being nitpicky here, which obviously we all are, still taking too long for pass plays to develop and get the ball out. Yeah, not a lot of quick plays. That's okay. That's okay today, but that might be an issue against better teams. It has been. I shouldn't say it will be. It has been. Coach Todd Zilla, Baronek Senior. This is what I said was John's burner account. Let's see if he agrees with everything that John said last week or this week. Wall of Fame, Diggs, Davis, the entire secondary, John. Third quarter offense, McDermott for refocusing the troops. Yeah, you know, we should have given the wall of shame to McDermott last week for not having his guys really in the game and in the mindset. But then again, we didn't hear about the Jaguars players saying, man, the Bills just didn't seem into it. Wall of shame, the running backs fumbling, late game points allowed. Yeah, yeah, the Bills, I mean, they kept their foot on the gas, but they definitely let up some plays going in late. Sweet Sassy Malassi, play of the game. Wow, Coach Todd, impressive. Hyde forced fumble and recovery. And then the Gettysburg, the final drive of the first half. All right. Hashtag not John's burner. He did say that. I didn't even read that part before I was mentioning that. Hashtag Bills Mafia. And I'm going to like that comment. You know what? I'm going to like in real time every comment as I'm reading them on the podcast. That's how you know I'm reading them. if I'm liking them. Parrish writes, Wall of Fame Spencer Brown, glad he is back and a big difference it makes. I love the nickname The Mountain that you came up with, Nate. Thanks. Wall of Shame, maybe Allen's INT or Breda's being inactive this long. He did not say anything about The Mountain. I totally added that, but so pretty funny. Breda has to become, somebody asked me over Twitter, who are you going to make inactive because of him? I'm like, I don't know. Anybody that doesn't score two touchdowns in a game, anybody who's on the field that doesn't have the ability to score two touchdowns in a game for the offense is who I want inactive, which is a lot of players. AJ Tharp writes, Wall of Shame, too many missed tackles today other than Klein, who wrapped everyone up. Klein, man, Klein's looking good. Again, second half of last season, this season, he's a force, man. Even with Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds was inactive today, and I couldn't honestly tell that he was. I don't know if that says more about AJ Klein or Tremaine Edmonds, but Klein had a great game. Wall of Fame, how unstoppable we felt on all facets of the game. We were more unstoppable today than you two getting their crappy album back onto my iPhone, even though I've deleted it 12 times. Josh Allen is greater than Bono. He has the little greater than symbol. I love AJ Tharp's tweet. I wish I could like this twice, AJ Tharp. Not only for, you know, how unstoppable we were in all facets of the game. It was a great tweet. I called Apple about this. Now, you guys are Android guys. Mike and John are Android guys, so you don't know this. But if you have an iPhone, you get this stupid album from YouTube pre-downloaded onto your iPhone. So like I have, like, let's say I have 2,000 songs of my own music that I just love and I've downloaded and purchased over the last 10, 15 years or whatever. From the time I had an iPhone to now I have the time I had an iPod only, the time now that I have an iPhone. And if you delete this YouTube, and it's not even a good YouTube album, it couldn't even be like greatest hits. Like this is just some off album that they made in like 2008 or 2015 or something stupid like that. And you have to listen to it and it's not good. You just, every time you delete it, it re-downloads itself. And I called Apple and iTunes, just so everyone knows, they admitted to me so far as like, there's no way to get it off. I'm sorry. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, it will always re-download onto your phone. So, yeah. Thank you, AJ, for bringing that up. If you guys ever have tweets after the game where you want to, like, you know, vent about something, feel free. B Mormon 2020, Wall of Fame, the refs for not being as bad as usual. Just some oddly fast whistles. Keep being at least mediocre refs. Keep being at least mediocre. There were definitely a couple of plays where I thought they were going to call a penalty and they picked up the flag. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? How did that happen?
Yeah, the refs have been terrible all year. That's a good one.
Did you see that play against that Bears player where the referee like backed into him to like hip check him as he was running to the sidelines? Mm-hmm. And then he flagged him for taunting. Oh yep. My God. I have so much less faith in the NFL. And then, of course, they stood behind the referee's call.
They fined the guy too.
Yeah. It's rigged, man. It's rigged. Wall of Shame. Mike White for saying he should have been drafted first overall earlier this week. That is true. He did say that. Reality check written and cashed by the Bills' insane defense. I love that tweet, B Mormon 2020. A lot of great tweets this week, as per usual, but it's really great to see it. Mike Graham writes, Wall of Fame, our entire defensive secondary. Have yourself a day. Also Spencer Brown, because that is a man amongst children. And you can't forget Stephon Diggs doing Diggs things. Wall of Shame, the announcers for saying the Jets played in New York. Don't disrespect New York like that. Christy McComber is in. Wall of Fame, too hard to pick. Breda, Diggs, secondary, Gabe Davis, basically everybody. Wall of Shame, the running back fumbles, keeping the starters in too long. Breda not being played more before this. I really hope they keep Breda in. The Breda fumble is something interesting. And John, you brought the point that someone said on Twitter that, you know, and it's true that Devin Singletary has like five fumbles this season, right? So, I mean, how can you be upset that Breda did have that one when every running back, for the most part, has put it down on the ground multiple times? So, I think what he brings to the field, and it was evident today, and Dable was able to utilize him more than he's ever utilized any of the Bills running backs. He not only, somebody brought it up on Twitter. I, I wish I could remember how amazing it was that that first touchdown pass where Josh Allen found Breida like streaking down the sideline into the end zone. Like Breida was only supposed to go out for a swing out pass. And then he saw that Josh Allen was rolling left. And instead of staying there and blocking or whatever, he ran to the corner of the end zone to get that pass to be open. And Josh found him. I mean, that chemistry alone, that ability to link up with your quarterback on a passing play. I mean, to me, that begs that you have to be active. The guy has to be part of your game plan. Maybe not every down running back, but he has to be in there at least in some way, shape or form. Bill Lasso writes in, Wall of Fame ghosts. Mike White was seeing them and they were believing in themselves, forcing four INTs. Diggs, I feel like I had a hand in getting the Bills back on track in the locker room, and it shows. Wall of Shame. Whoever was not letting Matt Breida play, where has he been? Oh yeah, we didn't do this. Guys, what I mean, it goes to say without saying, we didn't do the Josh Allen fire emoji rating at the beginning of the show like we normally do. Is it five fire emojis for today for Josh Allen? You wouldn't give him anything less, would you? No? No from Mike?
Four.
Four? And why?
Well, he had that pick.
Oh, that pick? Okay. Okay. All right. So four for John. Apparently 366 yards, two touchdowns. That one INT really just sticks out. Okay. Six in your craw. What is a craw? And how does something get stuck in it? Mike, it's usually a question you would ask.
Is it a rooster? The thing the rooster has?
I don't know. Google that. So John thinks four and a half. Four. I think five. Mike thinks five. Big Dog writes in. He says, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, 5 out of 5 fire emojis. Spencer Brown and the Bills D for another elite game. Wall of Shame, Mike White for thinking he should be a first overall pick.
I'm sorry, but like 5 out of 5, that should be perfect game, right?
What I deem a perfect game, 75% completion percentage, John.
Yeah, he turned the ball over.
He did.
Is that like you can say like, well, he also ran it for 70 yards and a touchdown too. So we'll give him. So like he had a great day passing, but he threw a pick. I don't know if he can give him a perfect.
So if he threw for 450 yards, 4 touchdowns, but he had 1 interception, you still wouldn't give him 5? There's no yardage or touchdown total that could erase that interception for you?
No, there might be.
Okay. What if he ran
for 50 yards? Maybe if he was over 400, I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll wait till we see. Okay, so four fire emojis for John.
Mike. We could do 4.5 if you want to go to the 10 scale like we were talking about last week.
Half fire emojis are definitely a thing, so you can do that. We're not going to 10.
Well, I mean, you may as well. If you're doing halves, then you just make it 9 out of 10, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's too many fire emojis. I don't want people to people are giving us fire emojis in tweets. Okay, I don't want them to have to hurt their thumb to thumb out 9. Okay, or 10.
But can you do a half of a fire emoji in a tweet?
I don't think so.
So then, what are you doing?
So yeah, that's why I did 5. Mike, stuck in your craw? Anything?
A craw is a crop, and a crop is an expanded muscular pouch near the gullet or the throat of a bird. An enlarged part of the esophagus. It's used to temporarily store food.
No.
So if it's stuck in your craw, like the origin of the idiom is like to disturb the peace of mind. Like, oh, that new pop song sticks in his craw every time it's played.
Should we do a segment in maybe the Wall of Fame or something? Like, did anything stick in your craw? Like, what stuck in your craw today, in today's game? The stuck in your craw segment, instead of like what grinds my gears, it's like what really stuck in my craw today, Nate, was the Bills coaching. No, I like that. I like that. Let's keep that in our bag, a bag of tricks. John, do you want to give us an update on the tweet Twitter poll for the nicknames, or when I'm going to read another tweet and then you can get back to me? Scott of hashtag Bills Mafia writes, Wall of Fame, Diggs was fire. Breida was a breath of fresh air. AJ Klein was lights out. Wall of Shame, I can't help but say the penalty flags. This season is really bad in general, really wrecking the game. Yeah, lots of big plays this season. Good call by Scott. How's it look, John?
So far, 190 votes. The Mountain is winning 87%.
Nice.
I don't think they're giving enough. I didn't think it would be that far away, Mike. We'll have to check on it. Like at the very end of the pod, but I think
it started at 100%, so it's already down 13%.
That's true. John.
Well, give me a little time to think about it.
Okay. Okay.
How about Bear? Brown Bear. That's something.
I think Bear Brown is somebody else's nickname.
Bear Bryant? Bear Brown? Maybe something else.
What?
Who?
Just Bear, because it's Brown Bear. Get it?
No, who's on first?
Corn? Karen. Karen, hashtag go Bills. Go Buffalo, writes Karen. I like that. I like that. Let's see how Karen writes. I wonder if she just complains and wants to talk to the manager. Wall of Fame. Bills this, Bills that, all the Bills. Laughing emojis. Hashtag go Bills. Hashtag Bills Mafia. Feeling all those would have been empty seats, LOL. Wall of Shame. Little Dirty getting hurt. Not bad, Karen. Private Joker 2003. Wall of Fame. This is the Diggs game of the 21 seasons so far. The last time the Bills looked back was when he looked over his shoulder to haul in that TD that made it 17-3. Wall of Shame, the first half offensive line play was shaky, but they turned it around. Gettysburg play of the game, the Diggs TD reception to put the Bills up by 2 touchdowns. All right, we'll read a couple more. Let's get in Edgar Donnybrook, Wall of Fame, a good game, really good game overall. Minimal stupid complaints that had minimal impacts. That being said, Wall of Shame. The second quarter offense, the one snap Tommy Doyle played. Fine with not seeing him again this year. Keeping Breida inactive all year. Dude's a stud and needs to play. Yeah, two really good points on Tommy Doyle. Tommy Doyle's not ready yet. He's just not ready. He's just, and it's, you know, it's good. They got to get him some playing time, but just, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. They can't all be Spencer Browns. They can't all be the Mountain. And Michael Taylor writes, Wall of Fame. Breida had a good day until the fumble. Spencer Brown is clearly the linchpin of the offensive line. AJ Klein was a beast. That sounds like Mike's take. He's like, is Spencer Brown clearly the linchpin of the offensive line? Yes. AJ Klein. I'm just going to start doing that at work. Be like, is this the best project that anyone's ever run in this company? Yes. AJ Klein was a beast making open field tackles. Diggs for doing Diggs things. Wall of Shame, keeping the starters in too long. We kick butt, sit the starters. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Michael, for bringing that up. I kind of felt the same way. All right, I'm going to start, let's see, Big R. Haven't heard from Big R in a while. Okay. Big R writes, Wall of Fame. Allen, 5 fire emojis. Yes. Defense stepped up with key injuries and made Mike White reconsider his career choices. And Spencer Brown for helping bring the OL back, the offensive line back. Wall of Shame, no one. We humiliated a division rival on the road. Gettysburg, the Jets end of first half fumble. LOL Jets. Also, John Big R likes what John likes.
Speaking of LOL Jets, did you catch that sequence with the Jets coach with the challenge flag there?
No, I didn't. What happened? Could you remind the listeners what happened?
Yeah, so it was kind of hard to hear because I was at my parents and it was a birthday party and kids running around and stuff. But basically, the call was going the Bills' way and the Jets coach is talking to it goes to commercial breaks. You have no idea what's going on. And then they come back and he's still talking to the refs and they're like, oh, the ruling on the field is this. And we're like, oh, he must have challenged it and it went that way. And then apparently he didn't challenge it. He was just looking for clarification. And then he threw the flag after all of that. And the refs were basically telling him, we basically just told you that there's no way that we're going to overturn this based on whatever. Just pick up your flag. At least that's what it seemed like.
Uh-huh. So it went the Bills' way after all.
Yeah. He it was kind of weird because usually, if you can't challenge something, you would, charge the team a timeout or something. But they just let him pick it back up or whatever. I mean, I guess he could have challenged it, but they were like, we just looked at it. Mm-hmm. We're not going to overturn it.
If that was Sean McDermott, they would have taken a timeout away from him. 100 times out of 100. Easily. Do we have anyone else? Okay, I'll do a British Bills backer. A British Bills backer did say, Nate, are you ready to get on the floor today? Because that's the thing that I did during the Chiefs game. I sat on the floor the entire game and the Bills started to win again. So, which is a crazy tweet. That tweet blew up, which is so weird. So it just goes to show you have no idea what's going up. I mean, Rachel Bush retweeted it And it's just weird. It's just so funny. But he was like, are you ready to sit on the floor? John said that. John texted us that. I was like, dude, I'm ready. If the Bills go down, I'm just sitting on the floor all game. That's okay with me. I'm okay with that. I'll take one for the team. It's like that commercial where that guy like was in the basement and the team finally scored. And he's like, I don't want to go down the basement. It's scary down there, but I got to do it for the team. British Bills backer writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, five fire emojis. Stephon Diggs, five fire emojis. The entire secondary, one turnover apiece. Wall of Shame, Zach Moss's chin strap. Dude, that's a good one. I like that. Zach Moss's helmet came off at least twice that I can recall. He also writes, whoever calls the plays that just hurl a running back up the middle into a stacked box, expecting a result other than a gain of zero. That's good. That was the Bills' favorite running play in the drought. You remember that? You guys remember that? Run into the pile on first down, run into the pile on second down, third and nine, pass play for 4 yards and hope your guy somehow makes another 5 yards for the first down, which he never did. And it was always a dig route or something where the guy had to come back to catch the ball. So then he had to change momentum back upfield, and it never, ever worked. Once out of 10 times.
That was their bread and butter.
That playbook got passed on from coaching staff to coaching staff. That whole agenda, it's like it got left. Like, I'm trying to think of if something gets left from like generation to generation, like a time capsule, right?
Like it's like,
go ahead.
It's like somebody left a playbook on the bench and like, I don't have any playbooks or any plays to use. Oh, here's one that I found. Let's use this one. And he leaves it on the bench when he gets fired, the next coach finds it.
He's dusting it off and it's got like Mike Mularkey written on it or whatever. They're like, well, I don't have a playbook. Let's start with this one. Okay, well, let's start and we'll just build off of it. Every coach did that. They never got rid of those plays, though. They kept those plays in from the beginning. A British Bills backer, I'm going to end with this one. A British Bills backer also writes, Gettysburg, November 12th, 1:25 p.m. And he tweets out exactly what someone else tweeted out earlier, where Mike White, quote unquote, if you ask me, I should have been a first overall pick. Oh, man. That is some hubris, ladies and gentlemen. The Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Thank you guys all for joining and being a part of that situation. We've done the giveaways. We've done our stats of the game. We've done our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game, our Wall of Famers, Wall of Shamers. I think we're good, guys. Is there anything that you want to bring up, Mike and John, before? Oh, I can't believe I forgot this. We are going to be at the game next week. Mike and I are going to be tailgating. If you guys happen to be around or you want to meet up or whatever, talk Bills with us, have a drink, throw the football around, whatever, we'll be making our rounds around the stadium parking lots together. You know, we'll be hanging out together. We'll make some food or whatever. If you guys are in the area and you want to catch up, like there's probably one of you or two of you in general that want to do that. And you guys probably live in like another country, right? But if you happen to be watching this game, if you happen to be going to this game, if you happen to be tailgating at this game, shoot us a tweet, shoot us a message, DM us over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to chat Bills with you. We don't usually give out our faces or whatever, our identity. So the only way to get a hold of us is that way. So yeah, Bills Colts game. It's going to be a fun time. Fun time. We're going to do our recap on the drive home. I'm sure we'll give a good insight into what the tailgating experience is like for any of those folks out of the country, which is amazing. We have, you know, listeners in Israel, Australia. There's probably a lot of people that have never been to a Bills game and that hear about it. They see it on social media, and we'll give a recap of that as well. So do you guys know what the spread is for the Bills Colts game at this point?
Do you want to take a guess?
Yes, I would love to take a guess. John, do you want to go first or did you already check it?
No, but I'll go second.
Of course you will. And then John, after we do this, you're going to give us an update on the Spencer Brown nickname. I'm going to say it's in Buffalo. The Bills have a better record. They're probably viewed as the better team. I'm going to say 5.5 points. What do you go, John? Over under that?
You're saying Bills 5.5?
Bills
and
favored
a half.
By 5.5.
6.
Yeah, so I would a couple different places. It's either 6.5 or 7.
Ah, damn.
The all important half point.
Well done, John.
Well, it's easy for me. I just had to pick over under whatever
you said. I know. You're like the guy that goes last in Price is Right. There's someone that has a really good one, like 1500, 1501. Or if they're all over, they go $1. Da-da-da-da. Or if someone does it early, you ever see that happen on Price is Right? One guy goes $1, but he's not the last guy to go. Someone's like $2.
$2. So good.
Surprised the guy doesn't want to start a fight in the parking lot or whatever. They just throw down at the Price is Right. So it's 7.5 and 8. Okay. All right. I like that. John, do you have an update real quick before we sign off on what the give us fine. Some of the comments.
We can skip that.
I mean, we can, John, if you want, but
The Mountain has 86 percentage points.
Ooh, I'm losing some ground. How many votes?
233.
Okay, give us some comments. Let's hear some feedback from the listeners.
Maybe we need the West Coast to come in.
One says they both suck. Sorry.
Does he have...
You know, I'll take that. You know, I'll take that comment. That.
Well, does he have a better nickname?
Yeah. Dude, it's like it's Roosevelt's Man in the Arena. Yeah, you got something better. We'd be happy to hear it. Don't just criticize.
Someone else says the Brown Tain.
The Brown what?
Tain, T-A-I-N.
The Brownton, like mountain. Ooh, the Brownton. Okay.
That's someone else is commenting. Like that.
That's not terrible. No, that guy should have been like, these two suck. This one's better. And I bet I would have respected him more.
Yeah. Brownton is pretty good.
Brownton. Ooh.
But do you think people would get it? I don't think John got it.
I don't think John still... I still don't think he's got it. Do you get it, John? Because it's like brown.
Yeah, I get it. Thank you.
And it's like combining mountain.
Yes.
The character from Games... Yeah, okay. All right. That's good. I like Mountain, too, because he's just a big guy in general. So not only is it Game of Thrones, it's a... Okay.
That's what I was thinking. Like, It could have never been a Game of Thrones, and it still works.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. Totally. Yeah,
totally.
Does anyone else have a thing about how those two nicknames suck or anything?
The only other comment is that Brown, he's noting that Brown is only an inch off of Thor.
Oh.
But other than that.
Well, thanks for the info. So Andre the Giant was just a couple of inches taller than, you know, Spencer Brown. That doesn't help us. God, tell me who that is. I'm blocking that person right now. What an idiot.
That's all the comments.
Other people just scrolling past, like, what a dumb poll.
all I know is that most people agree with who I voted for.
What John and I. Okay. Well, Mike hasn't. Mike, you have another week. If you come up with something, we'll talk about it on the ride home from the Bills Colts game.
Okay.
And then if you do another poll, just let me know so I can vote real quick and give it 100%.
Okay. That sounds good. Lead the poll. That's probably what led this poll to being as one sided as it is because of John's first vote. People see that, man. Of course, they've already voted. You can't. I like that about Twitter. You cannot see the poll results until you vote yourself. I do like that. Anyway.
What's your problem, John? Did you ever see Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, when he's like, did I wrong you in another life, Will Scarlet? That's what you remind me of. You're just like out to give me tonight.
That was a good scene. Dang. That was a good scene. John is like Mike's Will Scarlet. Where have I wronged you, brother? You weren't there. What was the thing? What did he? Oh, he was like. Oh,
you guys just gave me two options. I just picked an option. Mike, what do you want?
Wasn't Will Scarlet? Wasn't that the thing where like.
Our father loved you more.
More than me.
Something like that, right?
He cast him off or something because his father had a child.
A mistress?
He had Will Scarlet with another. Yeah, mistress.
Yeah.
He loved you more than me.
It's like, jeez. Brother, I have a brother.
Yeah, I hate you, remember? No, let's hug. So, yeah, you know what's funny? I'm surprised nobody had a comment that's just like, kill yourself. Like, that's how Twitter is right now with something. It's like, it's either mostly good, and then there's just some terrible things. I don't think I told you guys this, but I did this. My son made this, he's 5 years old. He did this drawing of Josh Allen. I put it up on Twitter, which is really great. Everyone was super nice about it. They're so cool, so rewarding. And then, you know, obviously one guy's like, this is a terrible drawing of Josh Allen. Like, this is garbage. Why would you ever post this? Or something like that. I just thought that was funny. There's always somebody. Whenever you put yourself out there in any way, shape, or form, be prepared for somebody to just take a dump all over it. It's funny. I don't care, but it's just funny. By the way, TeePublic site, we're releasing, for those of you that don't know, we've gone on for about 2 hours now, probably. We have a TeePublic store that we sell t-shirts, different Bills designs. Some of them are art designs. Some of them are other really great Bills designers that we support as well. So all the sales go for both them and us from our store. But I just talked to the folks over at TeePublic, and we're one of the top ranked stores in all of TeePublic.com, which I'm really proud of. It's a testament to all you guys that are listening and supporting us. It's a testament to our graphics designer, Nick, that did the podcast logo and everything else that we do. We're releasing three new designs that are going on sale. One for the Juggernauts. It is super cool. You guys are going to love it. And a couple of Bills Mafia designs. And then those will be on sale this week, starting after I post the podcast. And then our sale, we have another sale for our store on Wednesday for all of our stores. So $13 t-shirts, $35 hoodies. I mean, this is a really great sale. It's right before the holidays. You have to order them now because you don't know anything right now is going to come before Christmas. I mean, you're talking things from Amazon. Like, they might not come before Christmas unless you order them in the month of November. Like, it's very possible. Like, supply chains are insane right now. And the same thing for TeePublic. If you want to get these things over to yourself or to a relative or a friend or family member, whatever, you should order it very soon. So that's teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod. That's teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod, like Circling the Wagons pod. So I have nothing else to add. Thank you guys so much.
If we for all listening. Just do a mad rush, isn't that putting us all in the same exact position? It's like if you're watching a parade, we all stand on our tippy toes. We're in the same spot.
It's a good point. You mean like when COVID hit and everyone was rushing out to pillage the grocery stores and we're all left with no groceries? Yeah. Except the people in the front row can see everything. They got all the groceries, got all the water, all the toilet paper. Yeah. It's a great point, Mike. But yeah, everyone should rush to the sale. TeePublic. Do it before everyone else and be sure you do it. So cool. Thank you guys all for supporting us. Thank you guys all for listening. I appreciate you guys standing, sticking with us for this. It was a fun game to talk about. It's going to be a fun game next week against the Colts. DM us. Let us know if you're going there. So we're going to sign off for... Wait, you have something else you want to add, Mike? Is something stuck in your craw that you have to get out?
You're the Twitter guy. Like, these people aren't crazy, right? Like, I'm not looking for somebody to be wearing my skin as a suit. Like, John's gotten out of it, obviously. Does he know something I don't know?
John is smart because he won't let me tag him in anything. He's got, like, all the tags off. It's smart. So people don't, like, start following him, you know, or whatever.
Wait, have what off? I don't know how Twitter works, man.
John's, yeah. Nobody wants to wear your skin as a as a suit.
All right. Thanks. All right.
Thank you for adding that, Mike. So signing off for John.
Hey, where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Mike?
Go Bills. It was a fun one.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. Thank you guys for listening. Stick with us next week. If you're in the area, let us know. We'll see you at the Bills-Colts game. Talk to you guys next week.
Buffalo, stand up. It's the Mafia. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Yo. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Yo. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole. Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. Yeah.
Ike McKenzie on a jet sweep. Maybe it's a fake. Honestly, it's a TD either way. When you got Diggs and Bees and Gabe Davis, three-headed Singletary, Moss, Breda. Who gon' stop us? We the greatest. Forget Mahomes, forget Kelsey, forget Hill. Come and replay us, cause we ready. Sebastian like Boogie, yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford, we ready. Kick they buck up like Ike, yeah, we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike, are you ready? Season tickets, I'm hype up the team ready. Buffalo, this is our team forever. Forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Bill City. It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City. Buffalo Bill City. Yeah. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. 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 A Buffalo Bill City. Buffalo Bill City. Yeah. Yeah. What? It's a Bill City. It's a Bill City. Yeah. 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 A Buffalo Bill City. A Buffalo Bill yeah. City. Yeah. Taron Johnson with a pick six. It's just too easy. Don't pass it to Treyway. Please believe me, we got high right behind him in Poya Free. Please don't run up the middle unless you want to meet a star. Greg Rousseau can show you what he's about. Trey Edmonds and Matt Milano can't get around him. Our team is grounded. Oh, yeah. Sebastian like Boogie, yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford, we ready. Kick they buck up like Ike, yeah, we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike, are you ready? Season tickets, I'm hype up the team ready. Buffalo, this is our team forever. Forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill yeah. City. Yeah. 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 A Buffalo Bill City.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.